this Gemara is much more down to earth than the other Gemaras we're learning. Okay, just 9 lines in the bottom of Chav Beis Amid Aleph. Thank you. The Gemara was discussing in the previous page or so that if you immerse a keli in a keli, for truma it's good, but not for kaddish. The Gemara was discussing the various reasons, either because they're going to bake a gzeda, somebody might toivel needles in a small keli, or there's a chatzitza, whatever. But the Gemara bottom line was that we're not afraid for truma to toivel a keli in a keli. Why? So the Gemara said, because the keli is going to be tamei, but it's an amaretz's keli, so who cares, basically. That was the Gemara's outcome until now. So the Gemara asks a very simple shayla. V'neichush l'shayla. Why aren't we afraid that a chaver, meaning a tamei chacham, is going to borrow an amaretz's keli, and he won't know it's tamei, and he's going to use it? Why? Because maybe the amaretz tabled a keli in a keli, and the amaretz thinks it's good, when it's really not good, right? The Gemara said before. So the bottom line is, a chaver might borrow that keli. He's going to think it's tahar, it's pure, and it's not, because it was tevel the keli and a keli. And the Gemara says, where do we see that we are afraid of such a concept that the Talmud Chacham, a chaver, is going to borrow a keli for Nama Aretz? The Tanan, and this Gemara we just started explaining last week, if you remember, and then we had to stop in the middle. The Tanan, Klicheres Matzel Alakil, an earthenware vessel protects everything from becoming Tamei Divrei Beisilu. Remember last week, the end of the shiur, we're learning like this. There's a dead corpse in a room. The ceiling blocks the tumah. So anything on the second floor is not Tamei. What happens if there's a hole in the ceiling? So then the tumah goes up. Then everything on the second floor is also Tamei. What happens if you stuff up the hole? So Beis Hillel says, if you stuff up the hole with a kli cheres, with an earthenware vessel, it stops the tumah. Why is that? Because we learned a kli cheres cannot become tumah from the outside. A kli cheres can only become tumah from the inside. If you touch the outside of it, it cannot become tumah. Now, the halacha is, a keli, which is tamei, cannot block tumah. In other words, if there's a corpse on the first floor, there's a hole in the ceiling. Okay, so the tumah goes up. If you take a tamei keli and stuff the hole, the tumah is going to go up anyway, because there's nothing blocking the tumah, because this is also tamei. Okay? So therefore, if you would put a metal keli to block the hole, upstairs is going to become tummy. Because what happens? The metal keli becomes tummy because it's under the same roof. And if it becomes tummy, the tumor keeps going. In order to block it, you need to block it with something that doesn't become tummy. Right? So a kli cheres, because the outside doesn't become tummy, so when you block the hole with the kli cheres, the outside of the keli does not become tummy. So therefore the tumor stops and it doesn't go to the second floor. That's what Beis Hillel says.
Question.
What?
But maybe this kli cheres is stuck up getting tame on the inside.
No, it's speaking in a way. Give me a cup. Give me a cup.
And it comes here, so it is inside the room.
No. It's speaking, this is the first floor. The kli cheres is not like that, blocking the hole. Then you're right. Then the kli cheres becomes tame from the air. The kli cheres is blocking the hole this way. Here's the hole, right? Here's this roof. Here's a hole. And the klicheres is going in this way, not this way. You're right. If the klicheres went this way, then this becomes tamei, so the tumah is going to keep going. You're right. You're speaking, the blocks it this way. So the outside can never become tamei. That's the halacha. Klicheres can never become tamei outside, so it blocks the tumah. That's what Beis Hillel says.
What if it's a flat piece of, like it breaks?
It stops the tumah.
Has to be
Kaylee.
Right.
Right.
It's going to be animal.
Yeah.
That's why it's a problem for a Kaylee to walk into a hospital.
Yeah, it depends on the mortgage setup. But anyway, Beishamei says, well, let's put it this way. There's no problem for a kohen to walk into a hospital with the fear maybe somebody will die. Because then he can't walk into any room. Maybe somebody's going to die.
Well, they're sick people.
So what? So what?
More people die in hospitals than
in so what? Up then a person's alive until they're proven dead. The only problem walking into a hospital is if the morgue is set up in a way that when doors open, then the tumor is going to go up.
What about the pathology lab with the pieces of body?
That all that has to be taken into consideration.
Yeah.
Is the Jewish hospital set up in a way that couldn't
come in? I mean, some of them are. It depends on how it's set up. Anyway, let's not get into the hospitals. That's what Beis Hillel holds. Beis Hillel is very logical. The Klicheres blocks the tumor because it doesn't become tummy, so the tumor can't go upstairs. Beishami argues and says, Ein a matzel el ala eichn v'ala mashkim v'al klei cheres. The only thing the klei cheres protects on the second floor is food and drinks and a klei cheres. But kelim that are not klei cheres become tamei on the second floor. That's what Beishami says. So Beishami, so to speak, says certain things the tumor spreads on the second floor, and certain things the tumor doesn't spread to the second floor. So the Gemara asks, So Beisil says to Beishamai, Mipneima, why do you draw the line? In other words, if the Klicheres is blocking the tumor from going up, then everything should be torn. And if it's not blocking the tumor, then everything should become tummy. Why are you saying food, drinks, klicheres on the second floor are tahor, and metal kelim become tummy? It doesn't make sense. Either the tumor goes or the tumor doesn't go. So I'm going to be Shammai. So Beishamai answered back. Because the earthenware vessel is tummy because of an amaoritz. I'll explain in a second. Vein the kli tummy chaitz. Beishamai says, you know why the kli tummy? The kli cheres doesn't block the tumor. Because an amaoritz probably touched it from the inside, making it tummy. And like we said before, a keli, which is tummy, cannot block the tumor. So Amalan Beisilu says, Halitiyatam eichlun umashkin shebeseichai. But you just said food and drink is tahor. So again, Beisil says to Beishamai, you're not making sense. Either everything should be tummy or nothing should be tummy. If it blocks the tumor, then nothing's tummy upstairs. If it doesn't block the tumor, everything's tummy upstairs. So what are you hacking a trinik? Amalan Beishamai. So Beishamai answered, Kshetiharno eichlan umashkin shebeseichai. When we purified and we said that the mashke and drinks are tahor. La'atzmei tiharnu. We only, for the ma'aretz, is tahor. In other words, we say, ma'aretz, you can eat it. Avol netayes hakeli. But should we purify the vessel, shetaharasa l'chavolai, that a chaver is going to use the keli? Meaning like this. We're speaking in a house of an Amoritz. Okay? So Beishamai says like this. When we, again, the Klicheres officially is blocking the tumor. Right? So, Beisil says everything upstairs is tahor. Beishamai says no. Only food, drinks, and Klicheres are tahor. But metal kalim are tummy. So Beisil says it doesn't make sense. Right? So Beishamai says like this. Listen. You know why the food is tahor? Because a chaver will never eat food from an amaretz. So who are we telling you can eat the food? The amaretz can eat the food. He's tamei anyway, so go eat the food. But if you're talking about kelim, a chaver is going to borrow kelim from an amaretz, and he might not know that they're tahor, that they're tamei, because he thinks that they're tahor. Because he thinks the tumor blocked it, the klicheres blocked the tumor. So what are we afraid of? That the chaver might use the vessel. So therefore, Beishamai says, when we said food and drink is good, because a chaver will never eat food of an amoritz. But he'll borrow vessels from an amoritz.
Why say it's good? Then why don't you just say it's tummy, but we don't have to
because
worry
because we're
it.
Talking to the amoritz.
Why are you only worried about
because it's
so
in
it's
his
good
house.
For the amoritz,
why would he not?
Because a chaver anyway won't borrow take food from an amoritz.
No, but I'm saying for the amoritz though it's good.
Huh?
For the amoritz it's good though. Yeah, for himself yeah. It's good
because he's anyway tummy. He doesn't care about the laws of Tumah.
I see.
But why do you assume he would take Kegel from an Amoritz?
Oh, well, that was the Gemara you dismissed. The Gemara said before, the Gemara is proving now a statement that we said before. The Gemara asked the question, why aren't we afraid that Chavir is going to borrow a Keli from Amoritz? And this all braises to prove that they do. But in the middle, the Gemara is going off a little bit. It's Tanya, like, what?
It's like differentiating between Kli Cheretz and...
Correct. Because Kli Cheretz can't become Tamei. Because there's no tumah going inside the Kli Cheretz. On the second floor, even though the tumah is going up, but there's no tumah inside the Kli Cheretz.
If it's closed.
Right. Tanya, this is parenthetical. The Gemara is going off. This is a very famous Gemara that Rebbe brings on in Tanya. Tanya, Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Yeshua said, and Rabbi Yeshua, by the way, is a disciple of Beishamai. He said, "Beishni medevrechem Beishamai." I'm in. Who? No, I think Rabbi Yeshua was a talmid of Beishamai.
He was a talmid of Beishamai. He was saying this to Beishamai.
I think Rabbi Yeshua was a talmid of Beishamai. I'm not sure. Why you saw somebody who's a talmid of Beisul?
Because
this is his answer.
He wasn't happy with the Shammai answer.
Right. So he says, "I'm embarrassed from you guys." You know. You guys are embarrassing me. The Mefarshim explained they're all dead already. But he's speaking to the bones. He's like, you know, Beishami, this is much after Beishami. So he said, Beishami, you're embarrassing me. And he says, based on what you're saying, Beishu's asking, based on what you're saying, you come out with a, so to speak, a crazy din. That what? Efshe Ishel Losha Bariva is possible, based on what Beishami just said, that food is Tomei. Right? I'm sorry. The food is not tummy, but the metal keli is. Right? So he said like this. You know what's going to come up according to you? You're going to have a case of Isha Losha Ba'ariva. A woman is kneading dough on the second floor. And there's a blockage of a Kli Cheretz, you know, between the two floors. So Isha Ba'ariva Tmeyim Shiva. The woman and the trough that she's kneading the dough on a tummy for 7 days. Ubatzik tohar. And the dough is tohar. He says, according to Beishamai's logic, that he said like this, the metal keli is tummy. But the food is tohar. Right? That means, tumis mes, tumah of a dead body, is a 7 day tumah. Right? If you're in the same room with a dead body, your tummy 7 days with the red heifer, paraduma, third day and seventh day, was a ganze megillah, right? It was a very severe tumma, the Torah says. Beginning Parshas Chukas, tumas mes is 7 days. Even if you're under the same roof as a dead body, your tummy for 7 days. So Beishami, Rabbi Yeshua says to Beishami, let me show you how ridiculous your statement is. You're saying food is tahar, but the keli is tummy. So obviously the person up there would also become Tameh. So you're saying based on your logic, if you have a mess in the bottom floor, a lady kneading dough in a metal container on the second floor, which is blocked by an earthenware keli. So you're telling me like this, the woman is Tameh 7 days.
Blocked by earthenware or by metal?
Earthenware, between the two floors. The woman is Tameh 7 days. The vessel is tummy 7 days, and the dough is tahar. Maybe she doesn't tell me, that makes sense. Food is tahar, metal keli and the woman are tummy. He says, does that make sense that the woman is tummy 7 days, the keli she's using is tummy 7 days, and the dough they're making in the keli is completely tahar? And then he gives a second case. Lugim mali mashkem, you can have a flask full of beverages, mamish full of beverages. Leigen tomei, tuma shiva. The flask is tomei 7 days. Umashkin tahirim, and the mashka is tahar. He said, Tommy, that makes sense to you. Beishamai. That the flask is Tommy 7 days, and the liquid inside the flask is completely not Tommy. It doesn't make sense. So what happened? So one of the later students of Beishamai started dealing with Rabbi Yeshua to answer the question. Amalei. So the student...
Rabbi Yeshua was alive at this time or no?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. See, the student says to Rabbi Yeshua, Eimelach taimen shul beis tashamai. Permit me and I will tell you Beishamai's reason. Amalei says, Emer, tell me, Adrab, tell me Beishamai's reason. Bayus 22b1. He says, Amalei. The student said to Beishamai, to answer me some questions. Klei Tomei, chaitzit or eina chaitzit? A keli which is Tomei, can a black tumor or not? Like we just said, if the keli which is blocking the hole is Tomei, can a black the tumor or not? Amalei said, Rav Shua answered, eina chaitzit. It's not a chaitzit. It means the tumor keeps going. Because you need something to block the tumor. That's not Tomei. If it's Tomei, the tumor is just going to keep going up because there's nothing blocking it. Okay, so now he says, Keli shel, the guy asks Rabbi Yeshua, Keli shel Amah Aretz, Tomei or Tohar? Answer me another question. The vessel of an Amah Aretz, is Tomei or not? Amalei, Tomei. He says, it is Tomei. Because an Amah Aretz is not careful in the dinim, so what he touches is Tomei. So he says, Im'ata emalei Tomei, and if you tell him that I'm artist, that it's Tommy, is he going to listen to you? And not only that, he's not going to listen to you. If you tell him to the Amoritz, you know you're Tommy. The Amoritz is going to tell you, hey, Baichik, I'm good and you're no good. If you're going to tell an Amoritz, he said, Rabbi Shua, the guy says to Rabbi Shua, let's be realistic. The keli is Tomei? Yes. Does the keli block Tumah if it's Tomei? No. Okay. Now he says to Rabbi Shua, now tell me. You're going to tell an Amoritz he's Tomei, he's going to believe you. Of course not. He's going to say, if anything, you're Tomei, you know, you're Tomei and I'm Tohar. Okay. So he said, Vizel, time and shall Beishamai, that's the reason of Beishamai. And Rabbi Shua accept it. It's unbelievable thing what happened. Let me explain this Gemara. It's very simple, very, very simple Gemara. In Amah Aretz, okay, let's start with the premise. Jews are cheap, basically. We know that. Jews will not like to throw things out if they don't have to. If you tell an Amah Aretz that your vessels are Tomei, he says, okay, you know what? They'll bring them to the mikveh. Big deal. Food, he can't bring to the mikveh. If food is tamei, he's going to have to throw it out. Klicheres, you cannot purify in the mikveh. The din is klicheres can only be purified by breaking it. When you break it, it becomes tahor. But you can't take a klicheres and bring it into the mikveh.
If you break it, then it's gone.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You could even fix it afterwards, and it's a new keli. We learned that before in the Gemara, it's a new keli. But basically, yeah, but I'm artist, not going to want to break it and refix it. This guy explains to Rabbi Yeshua, let me explain to you the simple logic of Beishamai. Beishamai said, it's funny the way he said it, because the explanation is not exactly what he says. When this Tomei Dika keli blocks the Tumah from going up, okay? So because we're talking about an Amah Aretz, basically, it's not going to block the tumor because the keli is tamei, correct? And therefore, the tumor is going to go up. So he says, Beishamai is very practical. If Beishamai is going to say, your kli cheres is tamei, or your food is tamei, they're not going to listen to you. They're going to scream at you. Why? Because there's no way of purifying those two things. You can't purify food and drink. You're going to put drinks into the mikveh. Can't put a drink into the mikveh. What are you going to do? Purify the drink? You can't purify the drink and food. You can't purify kli cheres in the mikveh. Over there, the Amoritz is not going to listen to you if you tell him Tomei. But if you tell him, you are Tomei, or your metal kelim are tameh, he says, okay, I'll go to the mikveh, I'll put my keli in the mikveh and become pure. I'm not going to waste money. That he'll listen to. Like we know, when you tell people, okay, this you can kosher, okay, then I'll go kosher. This you can't go kosher, you know, they have a problem with it because they don't want to waste money. So, Beis Hillel's whole question to Beis Shammai was, why are you saying that metal kelim, the tumah, does go up and becomes tameh? And klicheres, and food, it doesn't become tameh. So he said, the guy says to him, very simple reason. Because this will listen to you, and this he won't listen to you. And if he's not going to listen to you, he's going to scream, you're no good.
That's what makes it in?
No, because it's all rabbinic tum anyway. And we're talking about the Amor, it's using it for himself.
So it's not what would see it. It's a question of application.
Right.
It's rabbinic tum because it's a doubt whether the klicheres is tumah.
He will not accept a halacha. He will not accept a halacha that's going to make him lose money. And this is all rabbinic tumah, and anyway, it's all for the amaretz himself. So this is all tumah midrabbanan. So what happened? Miyad, and this is a very interesting gemara. Miyad halach Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Yeshua was answered. In other words, what did Rabbi Yeshua say? Rabbi Yeshua said to them, you're embarrassing me, Beis Shammai. Because you don't make sense. So when the student explained to him the logic of Beis Shammai, what happened? Miyad halach Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua immediately went. V'nishtatech al kivri Beis Shammai. He went to the graves of Beis Shammai. And he said, Na'nesi lachem atzmes Beis Shammai. I have spoken excessively against you. Basically, ask forgiveness from the bones of Beis Shammai. And he said, Umas du meshalachem kach. If the hidden laws of you are so logical, meforoshes, the explicit laws, Allah has kama v'kam, how much more so do they make sense? So Beis Shammai Rabbi Yeshua went to the graves of Beis Shammai and basically begged forgiveness. But the Gemara says even more, Amru, Kol Yamav Hush Chirushinav M'pnei HaTayni Yosef. Rabbi Yeshua's remaining days, his teeth were blackened from the many fasts that he fasted for saying what he said to Beis Shammai. You see what's going on over here. The Alter Rebbe brings us down in Tanya, by the way, in Igeres HaTshuva, when he speaks about fasting for doing Avedis, he brings three examples. The Rebbe explains Machshava Dibur Maisi, each one of the cases. So it says, Rabbi Yeshua said, Beishni Medevrechem Beishamai, I'm embarrassed from you, and when he was proven wrong, he fasted until his teeth turned black for saying what he said. But anyway, this last part was parenthetical. What do we see from that Gemara before? That Beis Shammai said to Beis Hillel, Mela the food, the Talmud Chacham is not going to eat the food of an Am Aretz. But here he said, the Kalim, they're going to borrow the Kalim. What do we see from there? That people, Talmid Chachamim, borrow Kalim from an Am Aretz.
Because they can't talk at all.
Oh, so the Gemara's question is, if you're tevling a keli in a keli, that we said before is tahar only for the Am Aretz, but maybe a Talmid Chacham will borrow the keli from an Am Aretz, and really it's tamei, at least for the scholar it's tamei, and he won't know it, and he'll use it, thinking it's tahar when it's really tamei. That's the Gemara's question. What, one second. One minute. The Gemara says, "Ktani mios," but it says first in the Mishnah the expression, "Loch v'lecha v'lei," that he's going to borrow the kelim. Mele food and drinks. We're only talking about the amaretz because the Talmud Chacham doesn't borrow food from an amaretz because he knows it's tamei. But the keli, "Ktani mios l'cha v'lei," at least it says in the Mishnah that it's for you and for the chaver, for the amaretz and the chaver. Ama shalina minayl. So we see from there that Chaverim do borrow vessels from an Am Aretz. Right? So the question is, then how can you permit to immerse for Truma vessels and vessels and we're saying before, because it's for the Am Haaretz, why aren't we afraid that a Talmud Chacham is going to borrow the Keli and is going to end up using a Talmud Dika Keli when he thinks it's not? So the Gemara answers very simply, Ki Shalina Minayhu, when you borrow a vessel from an Am Haaretz, Madbelina Le, we table them. So it's not a problem. Because the Talmud Chacham knows that whenever he borrows anything from an Am Haaretz, the assumption is his tummy. So what does he do? He tables it. By the way, not only do you have to table, the din is you have to wait until nightfall. Because if you look in the Chumash, not nowadays, if you look in the Chumash, V'rachatz p'sare b'mayim, v'tame ad ha'erev. In Hebrew it's called Tful Yom. Tful Yom means a guy who tables, but the tumah stays until the nightfall. The same thing with Kalim. When you table the Kalim, they tummy until the nightfall. So the Gemara answers, when a Talmud Chacham borrows a keli from an Am Haaretz, he tables it and he waits until nightfall.
Can you get any kind of keli?
Not earthenware.
No.
If there's a doubt about that, there may be a doubt even that the keli could be even not kosher to begin with, regardless of being the Talmud or not.
It's interesting. That they weren't afraid of. Am Haaretz was not a non-religious Jew. Now, Mordis is an illiterate Jew. In the olden times, when they ate kosher, they ate kosher. It wasn't like today, you go to the supermarket and you could buy a chris, who knows what, this achshah, that achshah, this kosher, that kosher. In those days, they had the sheichet, he shechted the meat, it was kosher, everybody ate that meat, and everybody baked their own bread, and I mean, what did they have already? Huh? Yeah, they had whatever they had. They chopped a gefilte fish, whatever, and so it wasn't a problem of treifin kosher. And in fact, some of the biblical stringencies of Tumah Damar it's kept. Like we learned, Truma, and Amaretz was believed to say he separated Truma. Because a small kernel, Truma biblically, is good for the whole silo. A whole barn, you could feed with one chita, one wheat, one kernel. Maisa was already 10%, that's a lot of money. So that they weren't careful about. But things that didn't cost them too much money, they didn't have a problem with. And therefore, like we said before in the Gemara, if it's a metal keli, the Amara doesn't care if you tell him it's tummy, so tevel it in the mikveh, big deal. Otherwise, you have a problem. What? It's interesting, the Poskim write that because Rabbi Yeshua said what he said, and the guy explained it to Rabbi Yeshua, the halacha is like Beis Shammai.
So in that scenario, how do you stop Tumat Met from going to the second floor?
If it's not in Am Haaretz's Keli Klicheres, it would stop it.
So if there's a corpse in Amhara's house, there's no way that you could protect.
Right, unless if a Talmud Chacham comes and puts his keli there. Right.
The halacha is like Beis Shammai, one of the few ones that's like Beis Shammai.
No, there's a bunch of mishnas with halachas like Beis Shammai. In fact, here. And because of this change of attitude, the school of Hillel retracted and adopted the ruling of Beis Shammai, as the mishnah says in Idyas. In Idyas, it says a few din that Beis Hillel changed the minds of Beis Shammai.
This student changed the whole...
The whole scope of the universe.
That's amazing, yeah,
that's
right.
First, the student was... The one with Beis Shammai?
No. Just in that law. No, come on. Don't take it too far. Beis Hillel wasn't that, giving. No, in this halacha, because the logic, and Rabbi Yeshua came along and said, Beis Shammai Medevrechem, and then he apologized. So obviously there's an emphasis on it.
Sure,
there's a rule in the Gemara. When the Gemara asks a question, and then the Gemara elaborates on one side of the question more than the other, the halach is usually like that side that the Gemara elaborates on. The fact that the Gemara elaborates on it shows that was where the Gemara was leaning to. Because if they weren't leaning to it, why are they elaborating it and explaining something which is wrong? So there's certain rules in halach of the Shas, that you paskin, like the Gemara asks Shaila, or a lot of times you have a question like this: is it one or two? And then the Gemara says, and if it's one, is it three or four? And if it's three, is it five or six? You know.
That's one three.
So the halacha would be like 1, 3, and 5, let's say. Because the fact that the Gemara says intim salaymar, you know, potter, what would be the din in this case? The fact that the Gemara says intim salaymar potter, the ruling is like the that case. So the fact that over here, the Gemara elaborates in the Beishamai concept to the extent that even Rabbi Shu admitted that he was wrong, and Beishamai was right, so the halacha became adapted, even Beisilu paskin like Beishamai. But you have that in a number of places in Shas. Chazal Beisilu lahiris kadivri Beishamai. There's another immediate case that comes to mind. There's a Gemara in Baba Basra that the Gemara says, if two people own a slave, okay, two people are partners in a slave, and they free him. One frees him. Now he's half slave and half free. So what does he do?
Cut him in half.
That's it. That's a mother-in-law. Cut him in. You know the story of the mother-in-law? Everybody knows that mother-in-law story. So over there, there's an argument to be Sham Beisilu what to do. So one of them says, okay, he works one day and one day he's off. One day he works, one day he's off. So the other opinion says, but 1 minute, you can't do that because who's he supposed to marry? He can't marry a free woman because he's half slave. He can't marry a slave because he's half free. So he forced the master to free him. So even over there, Beisilu changed back to Golei Beishamai.
What was the halacha? To force the master to free
him? He forced the master to free him. Okay, so now the Gemara asks, Ihachi, if that's the case, if you're saying that anytime you're going to table, anytime you bow from an amoritz, you're going to table it. So he says, Nedra le Beisilu le Beishamai. So why doesn't Beisilu answer that to Beishamai? That what? Kishalina minayo, that when we borrow from them, matbilinalu. What did Beishamai ask Beisilu? If you're going to make the Kalim Tar, then you're going to a chaver will borrow the keli from nama audits. That's what Beishamai said to Beisilu. How could you say the keli is tar? He's going to borrow it. So why doesn't Beisilu answer? Yeah, but if he borrows it, he'll table it. So what's the big deal? So the Gemara answers, Tamei meis boyazor shlishi ushvi, because we're talking about a tumor of mess, dead body tumor. Dead body tumah is a 7-day tumah. And the Gemara says, Umana l'shiva yayma l'mushli inshi. People don't lend a vessel for 7 days. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's an interesting concept. The Gemara says a statement. If you're talking about truma, which tumah for a day, people lend kelim for a day. So when a Talmud Chacham borrows the kelim for Nama Adit for a day, he'll table it in the mikveh, he'll be able to use it. Here we're talking about tumas mes. So if he borrows the keli, he's going to have to spritz the paradum on the 3rd day, and then the 7th day, and for 7 days the keli is tummy. He can't even use it for 7 days. Mm-hmm. People don't lend out kelim for 7 days. Because you have to understand, in those days, they didn't have extra dishes around. You know what I mean? They didn't have extra dishes. They didn't have extra dishes. There for a day, they'll lend out a keli. They're not going to lend out a keli for a week. So over there, it's not going to help for the Chacham to borrow it. Because then he's going to need 7 days to get it usable. And for that long, he's not going to give it to him. Sure. No. Anything that became Tomei Tumas Mes.
Wow. 3rd day from the time.
Well, we're going to see later in the Gemara. Officially, you need to count 3 days. Even though the 3rd day might be after 10 days. You know what I mean? You need to count 3 days, sprit, another 4 days, squirt.
You designate, you say this is day one.
Yeah. Teres aviza b'yem ha-shlishi u'b'yem ha-shvi. So on the 3rd day and on the 7th day.
Well, you table it. You don't table it.
No, you squirt the ashes of the paradum on it.
On the kelim too?
Yeah.
Can it be like...
It says in the pasuk, Allah kelim ha-shoyer. The pasuk says clearly on the... Look at the beginning of Parshas Chukas. You have to do it under Kalim also. Whatever became Tomei, with the mess, is 7 days.
Can it be like 2 types of tumah, so you need to go to the mikveh and...
Well, I think even the part of Duma, they also have to go to the mikveh. in addition to mikveh, they also needed the ashes as part of duma. It wasn't instead of mikveh, it was together with mikveh. So now the Gemara asks, why isn't it Amoritz believed to say that he had tabled it? Why can't Amoritz tell the Chacham, I tabled it? But Tanya, we learned, it's a proof that we learned. Nemanim Ame Ha'aretz, and Amoritz is believed, Altaris Tfilas Tomim Mes, respect to tabling something for Tumas Mes, and Amoritz is believed to say he did it. Okay, like he brings down over here, Taka, at the bottom. By Keli that became Tamei Tumas Mes, you need squirting on the third, seventh, and mikveh. And the Gemara says he's believed. So the Gemara answers, so why isn't the Amoritz believed to say that he tabled the dishes with the Parah Adumah and everything? So the Gemara says, Amar Abaya, Abaya said, Leikash, it's not a kasha. Ha begufei, ha bekelef. When is an Amoritz believed about mikveh when it comes to his body? When it comes to his vessels, he's not believed. Why? It's a very simple logic, the Mefarshim explain. His body, he's more concerned about than his dishes. Okay? So if he comes along and says, I tabled my body, we believe him, because he's careful about that. Tabling his dishes, he's not so careful. From Tumas Mes. So over there, we don't believe him.
So, you said before that they would toive like they wouldn't do a Kli Cheretz because you can't fix that, but they would fix the other thing. And then the Chaver can only borrow a metal.
Right.
Because he can't toive the Kli Cheretz, but then they would, the Amarets would tovel the metal one anyway, because he doesn't lose anything.
That's what the Gemara is asking. The Gemara is, what you're saying is really what the Gemara is asking. The Gemara is asking is, you said before that Talmud Chacham will always table it. Why isn't he believed? Talmud is believed to say he did table it. Right? So the Gemara answers, Abai's answer at least, and Abai is going to change his mind in a minute, but Abai answers initially that he is believed on his body, but not on his kelim. But the difference is he won't get angry if you tell him your keli needs a mikveh. Because if you tell him the keli is tameh, then he'll go tevel it. But here we're not telling him the keli is tameh. On his own, the question is, he believed to say that this keli was tevelled or not. So the Gemara says, you're not going to believe him. So the Gemara says, but we do believe him. So by answers, only on his body we believe him. Because Amaris is careful about his own purity. So if he says, I tabled my body in the mikveh, you believe him. If not, you don't believe him. So then he says, Rava Amar Rava answers a different answer. Ede ve'ede be'kelev. Both cases are speaking by his vessels. One place says he's not believed, and the other place he says he is believed to say he tabled it. So Amar said, Le'kash. One case that he's believed is when he comes along and says, I never tabled a keli in a keli. And this case he's speaking when I did table. He said though, I tabled it, but I tabled it correctly. Meaning as follows. If the Amoritz won't lie, if he says, I never did it, we believe him. But if he says, there was a problem and I fixed the problem, then we don't believe him.
Good reason.
Here's a practical halacha. If a guy says, if a guy comes out of the clear, it's a question if it applies today. If a person comes out of the clear blue and says, I'm Jewish.
Comes out of a what?
Comes out of the clear blue.
Oh.
I don't know if they have that. Where are you from?
Clear blue. No, it's good.
Okay.
I didn't hear.
Then maybe you're from a different country.
No, clear blue.
If a guy comes out of the clear blue and says, I'm Jewish, you believe him. What happens if a guy says, I was a guy and I converted, then already you got to check it out. There's no problem to begin. There's no problem. Once there's a problem, to say that the problem was fixed, then you got to have proof. If the Amarit comes along and says, listen, I never did it anything wrong. I never tabled a keli and a keli, which is what the Gemara is talking about the whole time of a keli and a keli. He said, I never did it. So you believe him. But if he says, I really did, but I made sure that the hole was big enough that the water was connected in, then the Gemara said, we don't believe him. So Rav answers the contradiction very simply. The Braisa that says we believe him about the Kalim is when he said, I never did anything wrong. The other ones that we don't believe him, he says, well, I did it, but I fixed it. So then we don't know if Itaka fixed it, you know, if he fixed it. It's like in the kashrus world, between kosher and kosher, you need stronger hashgacha than between kosher and treif.
You mean between kosher and like glat kosher?
Well, that's what I was going to say, kosher and kosher. Between non-glat and glat, it's a meshgiach in a store. You need stronger supervision between non-glat and glat than between kosher and treif.
Right.
Or chav yisrael, not chav yisrael. Right. Why? Because treif and kosher is clearly different. Non-glad, God, guys, this is a kosher. What's the big deal? So is this kosher? That kosher? It's kosher. It's kosher. You know what I mean? Here, the Amarit says, I did it, there was a problem. I tabled a keli and a keli. We don't know if it's good, but I did it in a way that is good. So over there, the Gemara, the Braisa said, we don't believe him. Otherwise, we do believe him. Okay. So it says, Vatanya, it says in the Braisa, and this is a proof for it. Because it says in the Braisa, Nem an Amaadit Sleimad, Peiris Lehuchshiru. And Amaadit is believed to say that the fruits never became susceptible to Tumma. Aval Eina Nem an Leimad, but he's not believed to say, Peiris Huchshiru, but the fruits were susceptible to Tumma. But they never became tamei. Meaning like this, we learned already before in the Gemara, in order for fruits to be susceptible to become tamei, they have to get wet. They have to get wet first. Remember, we learned before in the Gemara here, yutan, yitain, willingly, no, not willingly, you have to want it. Bottom line is, once fruits, after they're cut from the ground, get wet, they become what's called mukhshel kabel tumah, they become susceptible to become tamei. If something tamei touches an apple that never was wet, the apple does not become tamei. Once the apple once got wet, a year ago, got wet, and it was dried even, if something tamei touches it, the apple becomes tamei.
While it was wet?
No.
Oh, even
no.
Dry.
As long as it became wet once, even though now it's dry.
You mean the dew? Dew can also affect that? They do, of morning dew.
Morning dew is, it's whole thing in the Gemara about dew being machshir. Okay, it's one of the seven liquids that make food susceptible.
So pretty much
the seven halachic liquids that make food susceptible. It's a Rosh Hashanah, Yad, Shachet, Dam. Those seven things. Yad, Shachet, Dam. There's Yayin, and Devash, and Shemen, and Cholov, and Tal. And Yashach Adam, Dam, and Mayim.
Okay. So certainly,
if it's outside, you're finished.
Right, right. So in other words, it becomes susceptible to become tummy. So the Gemara says, and Amma'adis is believed to say, it never was susceptible. But if he says it was susceptible, but it didn't become tummy, then he's not believed. What do you see from there? If there's no problem, he's believed to say there's no problem. But once he makes a problem, he's not believed to solve the problem.
you're not holding him as a lignite. He's saying he doesn't understand right from wrong, but he's not lying.
Correct.
If he knows for certain, it's certain.
If he comes along and says, this fruit never got wet, meaning there was never a problem to begin with, he's believed. Once he says they became wet, and he's not so careful in Tumah, he's not believed to say anymore, he's not Tumah. And you should know, it's very interesting, even in Halacha today, a person who's not careful about a certain mitzvah is not believed to testify about that mitzvah.
That makes sense.
I'll give you an example. I mean, it might be a strange example. A guy who doesn't care about Chol of Yisrael, not Chol of Yisrael, it's hard for him to be a mashgiach halachically, that he should be a mashgiach for Chol of Yisrael. Because by him, it's not an issue. He's not going to be so careful. Because as far as he's concerned, who cares? It doesn't matter. It is the same thing. So the Amoritz, once there's an issue, so then he's not believed anymore. But if there's no issue, then he's believed.
So what about a kosher bakery with a not Shomosh Shabbos?
You have a Mashgiach.
Yeah, okay.
What do you mean? If you don't have a Mashgiach, you can't eat there, would you? The Mashgiach, the one, they have to be there. If they're in and out, they have this.
That case where somebody used to be trusted to be Mashgiach,
there are a lot of details. That's why I said it might not be an exact Mashgiach. There's a lot of details what namonis they have, what namonis they don't have.
I had a case where people are like,
I mean,
the guy was
So then, again, the shaila is if he's about that, but I'm saying a guy that doesn't care about challah can't be a mashgiach to separate challah.
What about
that's a whole different story. Who's the balabas, the owner of the mashgiach? And what type of hashkocha is enough? Going in and out, constant hashkocha. You know, there's different things in these different types of hashkocha. Certain places need what's called Mashgiach Tmidi. Certain places Yetzer V'Nichnas is enough. A lot of these big massive corporations that the OU okay or only these places give action, they don't necessarily have somebody full time there. Because there's no need to. There's a certain way it's run. You know, and they just spot check it whenever they need to. Right? But if it's made in a certain procedure run, they're not going to change, you know. Heinz ketchup is not going to all of a sudden put chazer into the ketchup. You know what I mean? Because it's set up in a certain way. Well, I don't know if that's true, but whatever.
At least likely they're going to fuss with it.
The reason why it's not necessarily true is because if the same company makes trafe things
in the same
area and the machinery breaks, what do? They take the stuff from a different line to the machinery from the different line and put it on this line, right? That's what the engineers do.
Sometimes, but
that's all it takes is once.
If there's a possibility, you can check it out. But I'm just saying, with the bigger companies, to get some quality control,
correct,
it's very difficult.
It's harder to cheat, but sometimes you have issues. One of these massive companies that are making millions of gallons or whatever, and the machinery breaks. What they'll do is they'll take it from a line that's temporarily not working. Even though it might be a trafe line, right?
See's candies.
Whatever. I don't know.
I used to supervise them.
Okay.
So they have the thing right next to each other, the kosher one, and then the non-kosher ones right next to it. This could easily break. Just move it over to the next.
Yeah. One. Not only there, it could be anything. Okay. So now the Gemara. So basically, the Gemara's conclusion according to Abaya, there's two answers in the Gemara. One place it says that Amaris is believed, one place it says that Amaris is not believed. So Abaya answered, he's believed on his body, not on his Kalim. And Rava answers, he's believed, even on Kalim, sometimes he's believed, sometimes he's not believed. Okay? So the Gemara asks, Agufi Mimehemin, is he believed when it comes to his body? For Tanya, we learned in the Braise, Chove Shabola Hazis. A Chove that comes to have sprinkled up on him, the part Aduma, Mazen all of Miyad. You immediately squirt upon him right away. I'll explain in a second. Amaret Shabola Hazis, if an Amaret comes to get sprinkled on, a mazen olav ashayasa befanenu shlishi ushvi. You have to wait for 3 days. Meaning like this. We learned that to get put adoma you need 3rd and 7th. Right? So the Talmud Chochum comes to the Beis HaMikdash and says, I'm on my 3rd day now. Sprinkle me now, and then I'll wait another 4 days, get sprinkled again. We believe him, and we sprinkle him right away, and then 4 days later, a second. What happens if an Amoritz comes to the Beis HaMikdash and says, okay, I'm on my 3rd day, sprinkle me. Bezin says, uh-uh. You're going to wait 3 days, then we're going to sprinkle, and then another 4 days we're going to sprinkle. I think you said before, you know, it doesn't have to be Dafka the 3rd day. But, and this is the case, the Talmud Chacham is believed to say, I'm the 3rd day already, so sprinkle me. Amaris is not believed. So the Gemara says, you see, he's not believed. You just got through saying that Amaris is believed on his body. Here it says clearly, he's not believed. And he says, Amaris Shabala Hazes, a Mazan Olav Ashiyazabafanushli, we don't believe him until he has to keep, you know, count 3 days, and then we can squirt the ashes. So the question is, you just got through saying that Amaris is believed on his body. So the Gemara says, Allah Mabaya Abaya said like this. Because of the severity that you caused him at the beginning, he kalta all of b'seifa, you made it easier for him at the end.
What's
huh?
What is it?
It means as follows. Now at least he's going to be believed at the end that there's no question that he's tahor. By making him wait, you know for sure he's doing it correctly. If you're going to sprinkle him now, the day he comes, tamaritz, and then another 4 days later, people are always going to doubt whether he's really good or not. So over there, by not believing him, you're making it better for him.
So it's for his benefit.
It's for his benefit. In other words, normally an tamaritz is believed. But over here, by not believing him, you're making him more believed at the end. You know, it's similar. I don't say la'avdil, not la'avdil. But the whole issue, now it died already, but the whole issue with the Ethiopian Jews, are they Jewish? Are they not Jewish? Are they mamzeirim? Are they not mamzeirim? There's a whole issue when the Ethiopian Jews started getting out of Ethiopia, coming to Eretz Yisrael. And the Ethiopians were very insulted when you told them they had to do gerus. The whole fight, the political internal fight in Israel with the Ethiopian Jews. It's like a tumult in the halachic world at that time. And then Ramesh Feinstein said, they have to go through a gerus l'chumra. They need to do gerus. What?
When they get married.
Well, they want to be Jewish, they have to go through gerus. No. Because then, that's the most practical thing, but he told they had to go through gerus. So everybody was up in arms. What are you doubting, you know? The reality was he made it better for them. Exactly what the Gemara is saying. He made it better for them. Mm-hmm. Because if not, there was questions if they were mamzeidim or not. Mm-hmm. By saying they need gedus, he paskin they're not mamzeidim. Because if they be Jews, it'd be a question mamzeid, they would never be able to get married.
Wow.
So people thought, hey, what's he doing? He's making it so strict for them.
Did he say this reason?
Anyway, it came out better anyway. I don't know if he said it or not, but apparently if you think into it, it was much better. It was better for them to say that they needed gedus. So the Gemara says, it's better for the Amaris to be told you have to wait 3 days, because at the end, when he does it, there's no question that everybody's going to know it's good. But if you don't believe him, then people are going to never, and you score, if you believe him, meaning you sprinkle the third day right away, then people will always doubt maybe the guy never did it. So it was, they didn't even realize that the Ramesh Feinstein did them a favor. Because a lot of people were saying they're mamzeidim, and mamzeidim you can never rectify.
Wow.
So by him saying that,
because there was more proof
of their. By them saying they need to convert, he basically, by them converting, they were not mamzeidim for sure.
Because there's more proof that they're Jewish than they're not Jewish.
Right. Whatever.
So they did it?
I don't know if they were like, whatever.
So
you know.
They got married.
But if you lose track of somebody's mom there, it doesn't.
What do you mean lose track? Can you perform a marriage?
No, like 5 generations back, 4 generations
back. Suffolk moms, if you don't know, it's good. But
there's like a story that, you know, there was a wedding and then the woman, the mother of the groom, like, came into a fine son, is like, I can't take it anymore, like, I have to tell you, I had an affair, so, he's a mamzer, so, that, you know, it says in the Mishnah that you don't believe.
Now she wasn't believed. It's like, a lady that comes to her husband says, I had an affair, so I'm not allowed to be with you, she's not believed.
Stan, anytime she says it?
I think she should make a habit out of it.
Like 5 years ago I had a wedding.
She said I had one a day ago.
Okay,
if she says I'll have one tomorrow, she's not believing. Then she's believed.
So
just for
Okay, you know what? We'll stop here. It's the next piece of Gemara.